Our scripture lessons start today with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead.
Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more.
Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Colossians 3:15-17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I had the pleasure this past summer of being the delegation leader for the Hudson River Presbytery's delegation to the 2019 Presbyterian Youth Triennium. That was a whole lot of multisyllabic words. So it sounds like it was really serious, but as you can tell from all of the energizers we've already done this morning, we had a ton of fun. We were a group of 37 folks from all across the Lower Hudson Valley region, largely from this church, but a lot of other congregations in the presbytery as well, and it was great. And I'm so excited that we have so many youth here today helping us share the story of Triennium. Thank you to everyone who has helped out so far, and we're going to hear some reflections about our trip from Ben and Lionel, and we're also going to see another face up on the screen. That, by the way, that was Natalie. Live from, well, actually not live, recorded yesterday from Binghamton University. We're actually also going to see TJ recorded at Purdue University give a reflection in just a moment. So we're going to hear first from Ben, then from Lionel, then from TJ, and then from Tammy. So thank you.
This past summer, I had the pleasure of going to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium with 36 other youth and adults from the Hudson River Presbytery. Despite the long 18-hour bus rides there and back, it was a really great trip. One thing you may hear a lot about today is the heat. So I'll just say that yes, it was very hot, it was very humid, and the dorms were not air conditioned. But we survived and still had a good time. One cool thing that everyone was excited for was the pin trading. One of the big things that they do, all of the different delegations bring a design of pin, and then everyone likes to trade them, and you come home with a big collection of them. We could be anywhere on campus, and there were people interested in trading pins. There were people from all over the world, and yet one simple, hey, do you want to trade pins, was all it took to start a conversation and get to know someone. I'm pretty sure my pin collection covered California, Texas, Idaho, New York, Arizona, Florida, Maryland, Michigan, Alaska, Montana, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, and a lot more. Going into this, I didn't realize how much the pin trading was like an economy. Some groups had only brought a couple of their pins, so these were the highest in demand. The Heinz pickle from Pittsburgh, the Dr. Phil, the Spam pin, the Mr. Rogers pin, which Sophie happened to get for my mom, and most of the international pins were very popular. There were a few trades that went down that you could tell there was some serious negotiating and some intense thought being put into them. Even still, it was very cool that this one small thing could help us meet new people from all over the world and get to know them a little. Every day, we had a huge worship service, and when I say huge, I mean like really big. I don't think I've ever been in a worship service with over 4,000 other people before. There were so many people that our delegation had a couple people whose job it was to run into the auditorium ahead of time and get good seats before the other 4,000 people got there. These services always started with an energizer or two, some of which we did today. The Nettletons, which was the band, played all of the live music and led us in singing. A few of these band members would go from playing the piano, to the drums, to the guitar, to the accordion, and even to the harmonica. The sermons, while a little longer than we're used to, were inspiring and led to some good thought-provoking discussions that we could have in our small groups, which were made up of people from all different delegations, and our delegation group, which was just Hudson River Presbytery. Slowly but surely, the words of the hymn, Come Thou Fount, began to have a little more meaning behind them. The second line of the hymn is, Tune my heart to sing thy praise. When I hear this, I picture a radio with a dial that tunes it to the different frequencies. I see it move around until it finally settles on a frequency, which we'll just call the holy frequency because I don't know what it's called. It's definitely not K104 or 100.7 WHUD, and I'm really not sure what plays on this channel. But whatever it is, it must be some melodious sonnet that is sung by flaming tongues above, as it says later in the hymn. One other line that really stands out to me is, Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord I love. For me, at least, this line shows that it's okay to stray from God for a little bit. I have a lot of questions that I don't have answers for, and I may never have answers for. At times, my faith is stronger than at others. But this wandering is okay, and I believe it can actually help strengthen my ties to God. Thank you to everyone in the church and the presbytery who helped make the trip possible, and a big thanks to Steph for being an awesome delegation leader and just an all-around cool person.
Triennium. Wow. The moment I got that phone call from Steph telling me I had to start my reflection yesterday morning, although I was lazy, it immediately sparked ideas in my brain. I became very exuberated and so many memories started coming back into my head. The experience I had was something that changed my life for the better and has been the best time I've ever had at a youth conference. I've been to Montreat once, but this is completely different. Don't get me wrong, I love Montreat. But the second I left Purdue University for that long bus ride home, I noticed I changed. A lot. I was more peaceful, more motivated to talk to strangers, it was easier to forgive people, and I developed a stronger open mindset. I could go on and on about how great it was, but let me talk about the actual conference itself for some background knowledge. Triennium is held every 3 years, and like Montreat, it will have a specific theme that will be taught and reflected on throughout the week. This year's theme was Here's My Heart, which my interpretation from this was to help youth learn to give and receive love. That they definitely helped me to do that, that's for sure. Some of my favorite parts of the trip was when I showed love to people. For example, I showed lots of love to my roommate Yoham and my friends down the hall. Me and Yoham had the biggest dorm room in the boys' hall, so most of the guys would come in our room after dinner at night and hang out and listen to music. I also made lots of new friends that I am still in contact with today. Some of those friends would join me and my group in playing Frisbee every day, and we had lots of fun. Playing Frisbee evolved from just a few friends playing at the start of the week to by the end of the week, most of our group and other groups joining in to play a community-wide ultimate Frisbee game. I also met many people in the services. The services at Triennium are outstanding, but also very loud. Every day we would have a service in the auditorium with thousands of people that filled the seats and music blaring and crazy lights shining in people's faces. The vibe would always send chills down my spine and make me feel safe and cared for. The way our group would sing songs and link arms together will always have a special place in my heart. There would also be a different pastor every service explaining a scripture reading we deciphered during our small groups. Small groups would meet up every day and read a scripture from the Bible and usually do some sort of skit or game to help understand it. My small group was great because they were all very friendly and I quickly warmed up to them. They filled the days with laughs and jokes that put me in a good mood. I hated to only see them for a few days though, because those days went by like minutes. We never didn't have something to do. After a meal, me and my group would go back to our dorm building and head to the basement where there was a hangout area. It had a pool table, ping pong, and many other things. It was an escape from the outside on a rainy day. It was so amazing to have that easily accessible. Among many other things, my absolute favorite part of Triennium was the last night. There was a giant concert on the main field where there was loud music and a big crowd surrounded by people playing soccer or throwing football. We did dances like the salsa and also did a huge conga line. Triennium was one of the best experiences of my life. It was filled with joy, peace, and fun. I missed it the second I got on the bus home. I'm looking forward to going to Montreat this summer as well as going to the next Triennium. As Johan would say, 10 out of 10 would go again. Feel free to ask me any questions about my experience, because like this would have been like 5 pages, but I kind of refrained from doing that, but thank you.
Hey, Ben. Sophie? Anybody? Where'd everybody go? Why am I still at Purdue? Hey, is that? It is. It's the good-looking congregation of the First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown. Hello, everybody. Kind of a little bit of an issue. I fell asleep the other day, and I wake up and everybody's gone. Like, Triennium's over, and there's these weird college kids walking around. Like, I don't know what's up with that. If you could send some help, that'd be really good. Because, you know, I ain't walking back home, so it's gonna be a very long walk. You know what to do with myself? You know what I could do? We could talk about Triennium. You and me. Yeah. Well, because, you know, I got a lot of time to kill while, you know, I wait for some help, so I might as well talk about my experience, right? Since, I mean, it was just yesterday, it felt like, you know, that Triennium occurred, so. So, you know, what should I talk about? I could talk about the theme. That's what I'm going to talk about. Let's see, when I think about the theme of this year, here's my heart. I can think about two things. Two things come to mind when I think about this theme. The first thing that I think about is service. So, you know, here's my heart, right? You're the act of giving. And I know that our church is involved in so many ways with this act of giving. Through our food pantry, through our midnight run, through our mission trips. And so this act of service is something that I feel like is really encapsulated within this this theme, here's my heart, right? We're actually going out and we're affecting change. So I know that there's this cliche, right? There's the cliche, be the change you wish to see in the world. And I know it's very cliche, but if you think about it, you know, when we go out and we do service, you know, we're giving out our hearts. We're giving our time. We're giving our effort. We're giving a part of us. We're giving all these people out there, wherever they may be, whether they be in our own community, whether they be in other communities, the chance to, or not the chance, but the resources and of whether they be physical or really other like support, you know, like other things that may not be tangible. And then the other thing that I can really take out of this theme is the connections that we're making through the acts of giving our hearts. So the two are kind of like connected. So when we're going out and we're doing service, right, we're meeting all these different people. We're interacting with all sorts of different people of different backgrounds, people we may never have interacted with. I'm walking around, as I was walking around, like trying to find people, I mean, I was meeting people from all over the world here at Purdue. Like, there were people from China, there's people from California, there's even people from like Italy, and like, this is kind of crazy. But you know, I'm talking with them, you know, and you know, they have all different viewpoints. And that was apparent here when we were here for Triennium even, you know, when y'all were here too. I mean, so for Triennium, you know, you meet all these people of different backgrounds. And I feel like in this day, when ideas are constantly clashing, right? Ideas and people and viewpoints are constantly clashing. And so you hear about it all the time and you see it. And I feel like when we're going out and we're giving our hearts, not only are we affecting change and really impacting the lives of many people, we're also learning from them. We are learning where they stand. What do they believe? You know, and I feel like that's important, and especially in making decisions and for the future and all sorts of different things that we're going to be involved in, especially, for example, for me. I'm at the age now that I'm transitioning into adulthood. So when I'm going to be, what I'm going to believe in and where I stand, what are my values, you know? All these things are impacted by all the people I meet. And so this is just a couple of the reflections that I can take out of the phrase, "Here's my heart." It'd be great if you could send out some help. That'd be really good. But until then, I hope you all are doing well. I'm surviving out here, so until next time, see you.
I think that's a secret plea for some care packages. So the first Presbyterian Youth Triennium was held in 1980. When I was 13 years old, yep, go ahead and do the math. But at that time, my home church was struggling to even have a youth ministry, so I never heard of it, and I certainly didn't go to it. In fact, I had to wait 39 years to attend my first triennium. I am so glad our youth did not have to wait that long, did not have to wait until they were adults, to experience the energy, the connections to youth from all over the world, the fun and faith formation that is Presbyterian Youth Triennium. This past week, I attended a workshop on congregational vitality that was sponsored by our presbytery. The presenter at the workshop started by defining the problem, the fact that 80% of Christian congregations across the country are in decline. That means that only 20% of congregations are either stable or growing. And then we started to talk about the many factors that have contributed to this. A lot has changed in our culture and our world over the past 50 years or so, changes that churches, just like all kinds of other institutions, are struggling to figure out how to deal with and respond to. In the midst of the conversation, the presenter made a really interesting comment that I've been thinking about ever since. He said, "People today give up a lot in order to come to worship on Sunday mornings. People today give up a lot in order to come to church." Unlike 60 years ago, in the heyday of church attendance, when stores were closed on Sundays and no one would think of scheduling anything else on a Sunday morning, unlike then, today we are overwhelmed with choices. Yoga classes, soccer games, 5K runs and walks for charity, farm markets, shopping malls. In choosing to be here now, you all chose to give up something. Whether it was sitting at home with the New York Times and a cup of coffee, or going to the gym, or one of your kids' activities, or taking a day trip, or even just catching up on work around the house. This is even more true for our youth today. Not only do they have all of those other options and the family commitments competing for their Sunday mornings or afternoons or evenings, but they also have all that homework and a profound need to stay in bed and sleep. On top of all that, they face subtle and not so subtle pressures from their friends, teachers, coaches, and the culture not to choose faith or church. Long gone are the days when involvement in a faith community was considered an essential part of a meaningful, successful life. We live in a place and time in which the majority of people view faith and organized religion with suspicion, or as irrelevant to their daily lives. I know of youth in this church whose teachers at school have actually asked them, "You don't really believe that stuff, do you?" And yet, what our youth and adults found at the Presbyterian Youth Triennium was 4,000 other youth and at least another 1,000 adults along for the ride who sang and prayed and played together, who wrestled with scripture and the issues of our day, and who believe their faith is not only relevant to their lives, but full of hope and guidance for how to be the people that God created and calls us all to be. We found a welcoming, inclusive community, energizing worship services, creative ways to pray and express our faith, new friends and connections with youth all over the country and around the world, real-life conversations about the issues and struggles and challenges we face each day, and opportunities for hands-on mission and service right then and there. It was amazing. I only wish I hadn't had to wait till I was 52 to experience it. I wonder now how being part of such a vibrant, exciting, committed community of faith, such an inspiring experience, might have impacted my sense of identity, or my purpose and direction in life, or my understanding of what it means to be the church together, if I had gotten to experience it back when I was a youth. I'll never know, but I sure am grateful that our youth here in this church had the opportunity to go this year. Thanks to grants from the Presbytery and the Synod and the generosity of this congregation, we sent 14 youth to Triennium this summer. That's amazing. I would even say that it was totally worth the 18-hour bus ride in both directions and battling the heat and humidity in southern Indiana and averaging over 20,000 steps a day as we walked all over Purdue's campus. One of my favorite moments happened soon after we arrived on campus. We had unloaded all our stuff into the dorms and decided to explore the campus a bit. As our delegation was walking through the campus, I heard a shriek and then saw one of our youth sprinting across the quad toward another youth who was running toward her with equal enthusiasm and joy. All we needed was the movie music to cue the big reunion. It turns out that these two girls had been in the same small group together at Montreat last summer, and they had stayed in touch, and they were thrilled to see each other again. These connections are what Presbyterian Youth Triennium is all about. Connections to other youth who want to have fun and take their faith seriously. Connections to adults who care about them and want to walk with them through life. Connections to scripture and hymns. Connections to prayer and worship. Connections to the larger church and to faithful people all over the world. And above and through it all, connection to God. Connection to the God who made it all and who calls us to give our hearts to a vibrant, life-giving, relevant faith, which will see us through all the ups and downs, the changes and the challenges of our lives. I'm so grateful I got to go to Triennium this year, but I'm even more grateful that our youth did, and I can't wait for more of them to go next time. This is why we as a church have made a commitment to a vital youth ministry. That's why we have a youth director, and that's why we need your help as adult volunteers. That's why when I ask you all, who is the youth minister in this church, you say, we are, or even better, I am. Because faith in God is not only relevant and worth giving up other stuff for on a Sunday morning, but faith, being in relationship with the God we know in Jesus Christ, is essential to a meaningful life. And we want our youth to know it and to believe it. 5, 10, 20 years from now, we want our youth to know that God is with them every step of the way, no matter where they are, what choices they've made, or who they have become. God is with them, the God who created them, redeemed them, and loves them more than even we can. This is the God that we believe in, and this is the God that grateful people give their hearts and lives to. Not just today, not just at the Triennium Youth Conference, not just when we're young and full of energy, but all of us, each and every day. Amen.